All right, let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. Someone say praise the Lord this morning. All right. Hallelujah. I usually try to limit myself to one page of notes, but I've got a little more than that this morning. So that means you can have an extra helping. Come up to the table of the Lord and eat. Hebrews chapter number 6, and if you'll bear with me, I want to start reading at verse number 10 and read through the end of the chapter. Love to preach these verses, and the night before last, I had a dream and can't remember very much about the dream more than just the thought. And I sort of want to try to share the thought with you. How many, when you have a dream and you can't remember, it sort of frustrates you? Anybody? Especially when I really believe the Lord was trying to show me something and I might not have been 100% tuned in. Have you been there? All right. Verse 10 said, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence of the full assurance of hope." Somebody say hope. "Unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee.' And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability," say that word with me, good and loud, immutability. Is that a little bit of a tongue twister? It means unchangeable. "Of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon" what? "The hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Can you reach your hands this way and let's agree together in prayer that the Lord would have his way. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you this morning for your holy word. Thank you for the touch and presence of your hand upon our life. And Father, this morning we just agree together in faith that you have your way, that you minister by your power, that you open hearts and minds, that you lead us from Scripture to Scripture and give us your understanding. We're just thankful today for the goodness you showed to us on the cross of Calvary and the price that you paid that we might be saved and delivered this morning. Have your way in every heart and life, every family. Minister to each one here. Be glorified, Father, through this word today. Acknowledge you, Lord, in all of our ways. And we ask you, Lord, to direct our path. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Church, just lift your hands and praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name this morning. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Thank you, sweet Jesus. God is good. Can someone say amen? Just continue worshiping the Lord. Keep our minds and hearts on Jesus today. Hallelujah. I want to title my message, Unchangeable Things. And can't remember my dream, but I know that in the dream I had, I felt the Lord was telling me of seven unchangeable things, even to the point that there was a category of four things, two things, and one thing, and I'm going to have to get into that. I'm going to have to figure that out and seek the face of God to know what the Lord was trying to speak to me. I want to encourage the church this morning that if you are working for God, if you are laboring for the kingdom of God and you're in the vineyard of the Lord and you're occupied with the things of the Lord in your life, to take courage. I want to tell you to have hope this morning. I want you to know that God cannot, and that's why I've selected these scriptures to begin this morning. God cannot lie. He cannot fail. And He cannot forsake to reward you. How many are with me this morning? Now, we began here at verse number 10 that says, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. And thinking on that thought and knowing that God is indeed a paymaster that will come through. There's something about a payroll check. When you work and you labor on a job, you take that payroll check, you've got every confidence that that payroll check is good. How many can say amen and you're thankful for a payroll check? My brother Danny worked in a coal mines and there's a pretty shaky situation and he has had payroll checks to bounce. How many understand it's not a good thing when a payroll check bounced and you have a questionable employer and you don't know whether getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning you're going to go to a place and it's going to be worthwhile, that the funds are not going to be there? How many understand when it comes to the Lord, none of that comes into consideration? You know why? Because you know that you know that you know that you know that whatever you put into that bank, it's going to be all right. It's going to yield and draw interest. It's going to bring blessing. It's going to do something in your life because He is faithful. I count Him faithful this morning. Glory to God. I want you to know your pastor may fail you. Your friends may fail you. Your family may fail you. But the Lord Jesus Christ will never fail you. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But I'll go with you always, even to the end of the world. Now here's the thing. God is sure. I know that. How many have read the book and know that? Say amen. You know God's sure. But here's the thing. God wants you to know that He's sure, Brother Russell. God wants to stress this to you today. And God wanted to allow Abraham to understand how unmovable His word is, to the point that God said, because I can swear by no greater, I'm just going to go ahead and swear by myself. Now friends, if God tells you something, you can take it to the bank. If God says something, it's there. He don't have to swear to me. Hear me now. He's already given me His word. I already trust in His word. But the Lord wants you to know this morning how sure He is. Someone say, praise the Lord. We have a hope that endures to the end. Notice verse 11 here. That we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence of what the full assurance of hope unto the end. Now we get down in this text and we find out that hope is an anchor of the soul. It's sure, it's steadfast, and it's based upon what Jesus did when He entered into the veil, when Jesus took our sin upon Himself and carried them into the presence of God covered by the blood. How many understand what I'm talking about? He became our substitution. He took our place. I want you to locate Matthew chapter number 10. Follow me this morning. I'll have you turn to a few verses as I do. I want you to catch this and know how sure that our promise is. Since the promise is sure, He tells us not to be slothful, not to be lazy. There's few things that irritate me as much as laziness and lazy people. Someone say, praise the Lord. I'm not lazy. I'm not lazy. And, you know, I got over here at 10 minutes till 8 this morning, 7:50, in order to get into the presence of God, that we might have a warm church. How many are thankful by the time you get here, the church is warm? We thank God for that. But that ain't the only reason to come over here. I like to get over here. I like to get over here by myself. Amen. But the Lord don't want to reward laziness. Somebody say, good preaching. Brother Micah, that rabbit trail will work, but I'm going to leave it alone. Is that all right? Notice Matthew chapter number 10. Read a lot of verses here. Verse 41, he that receiveth a prophet. Notice what this says here. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, read it with me, what? Will receive a what? Going right along here, ain't we? Verse 42. And whosoever, without exclusion, this is what this says, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water. What does this say? Only in the name of a disciple. Verily, truthfully, actually, Jesus is saying, I say unto you, read this with me. He shall in no wise lose his reward. He shall, if you give a cup of water in the name of Ted Stidham, you don't have to do that. If you're giving it in my name, make sure it's cold. Someone say praise the Lord. Don't give somebody some warm junk. He says cold here though, Brother Russell. Let's make sure we're talking about the right thing here. Only in the name of a disciple. That even in that scenario, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward, a righteous man's reward in his Savior. If you give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, that tells me that the reward system of God is very finely tuned. How many catch that? Psalms talks about every tear bottled up. We know of a book of rewards, a book of works. We know that when we're judged, the books are open, and we know all this. But here's the thing I want you to know this morning, that God keeps track. And if you only do a cup of cold water in the name of Ted Stidham, put a little ice in it if you would. Put a little umbrella on top of it. I don't know. But whatever you do, you're doing it for the kingdom of God in the name of a disciple. What will we get if we make somebody a whole dinner in the name of Jesus? Now notice the phrase we end this year, shall. Notice, look at it. Shall in no wise lose his reward. Now I took the time to look that up. And it means absolutely no way. I'm going to read this to you. It says it is a double negative strengthening the denial. In other words, it ain't going to happen. You're not going to lose it. Not at all. It was used in other places by no means, neither, never, not at all, in no case, in no wise, not ever, not at all, or not in any wise. And what he's driving home, and he's saying that I am the reward source, and if I tell you that I'm going to do something, you can trust in it, you can depend on it, you can revolve your life around it. I don't have to worry this morning if God keeps track of whether or not I preach this sermon and I get a reward for it, because I know he's a faithful paymaster, and if the smallest thing will get rewarded, what will we gain if we walk with God? If you're with me, say amen. Unchangeable things. Think on that. Unchangeable things. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. I could quote this. I could read this. I've quoted it many times. But I want you to read it along with me. Unchangeable things. How many understand that God is true, but every man a liar? God is true. In every respect, God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way. Embodied in me is the truth. He can't lie. I mentioned to my employer Friday, he was talking to me, and something come up at work. Someone asked me a question I didn't want to answer. I tried to throw up a little smoke screen. I tried to avoid the question, but they point blank asked me. And it was something confidential, but I had to tell them the truth. And I told my employer, the man that signs my check, I said, I'm not going to lie. I trust people look at that as an asset and not a liability. Sometimes in the business world, secrets need to be kept. Amen. One time when I first was hired at this job 24 years ago, the office manager come to me one time, and I was doing some book work, and I wrote down something, and I took it to her and says, how do I handle this? And she said, just lie. I said, well, if you need somebody to lie, you need to get another person for this job. She never asked me again to tell a lie. How many understand if we're people of truth that it settles the question, settles the answer? But I want to be like my Heavenly Father. I want to tell the truth. I want to be the truth. If something comes out of my mouth, I want people to know it's the truth. Amen. I want to be like Jesus. Oh, church, why don't you just worship Him for a while this morning? He is true. He is true. He cannot lie. 2 Timothy 4, quoted this many times, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered." Paul, knowing that he's going down the finish line, he sees the finish line. He's run his race. He says, "And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Now I want you to listen to the confidence of this man of God, who knows that an unchangeable God is keeping track of everything that he's done. He says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, but not to me only, but unto all of them also that love His appearing." This man of God was so sure in his mind. He understood that death was right around the corner. He was approaching it in a hurry. But he said, "That's all right. I finished my course and the Lord has kept track of everything. And I know a crown of righteousness is waiting for me." We close our eyes in death here. Friends, we open our eyes in resurrection. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Glory. Hallelujah. Psalm 33 says, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance." Friends, I want you to know this morning that you can trust in Him. Somebody say amen. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. I want to give you five things this morning that are unchangeable, that I know we can trust in. I believe there are more. The dream I had, there were seven. I've only got five for you today. Maybe another time I'll give others. Hallelujah. I tell you, I feel the touch of the Lord in this place today. Friends, if you serve a God that from day to day He changes, or your view of God is this fickle, powerful being on a cloud somewhere with a lightning bolt in His hand, waiting for you to mess up, waiting for the opportunity to hurl it your way. I want you to know, me and you serve two different gods. The God I serve is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I can build my life on Him, and what I know, I know. Hear me. What I know and what I have been assured of through the Word of God, I can bank on and I can trust in, come what may. Now, when problems come our way, how many has had problems this past week, this past month, this past year? How many have had issues in your family, at your workplace, whatever? It's just part of life. Amen. You can trust in the Lord. First thing I want to tell you can trust in, 1 John 4 and 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another." How many know that an unchangeable principle of God is that He is a God of love? I am so glad today that my Father loves me, and He loves me more than I can imagine. One of these days, Brother Delmer, my eyes are going to be open when I get to heaven, and I'm going to understand how much He really loves me. But in the meantime, I've already tasted a little bit on this side, and what I've tasted on this side lets me know it's good and it's real. Hallelujah. And that He's worth serving. He's worthy of praise. And I just adore the Lord today, and I thank Him for His amazing love. Let us love one another. Here, read this with me. "For love is of God. And every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." I want to encourage you that if you take the dipstick, what's that song talk about, that dipstick of love? There's a song that goes that way. I knew it was something like that, Sister Betty. But if you take your dipstick and the measuring rod and you put down and you measure, you're about 3/4 low of love. How many know where the filling station is? How many understand you can go to the fountain? There's plenty to go around. He can fill you up. But it's an acid test. It is something that we need to look and examine in our life. And there have been times I've asked the Lord, "Lord, why don't I have more love for an individual?" You've never done that? Oh, I'm sorry. You are holy. Y'all love everybody. You have no problems. Excuse me.
You ever have those certain individuals that, well, you just don't love them as much? You still love them, but maybe just not quite as much, and you need the help of the Lord in order to love them as much as you should. But here's the thing. The Bible says that they would know that we're His disciples because of the love we have for each other. And God is indeed love, and His love is unchangeable. And this is it. In verse number 9, it says, "In this was manifest," to make known, to be clearly seen, "the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." If you need a dose today, if you need a motive today, if you need a reason to love somebody else, just look toward the cross of Calvary and see how much Jesus loved you. And there you have it. There's your motive. There's your reason. There's the cause you need in your life to cause you. It helps me. When my eyes are on Jesus, it's much easier to love somebody than when my eyes are on the world and self. Amen. Number two, the love of God. I could dwell on that, not going to. Number two is the Word of God, which is the promise of God. And we've already touched on the promise of God to Abraham. Someone say amen. God wanting to establish the fact that His promises are unchangeable and that we can build our life on it. Isaiah 55 and 11, and I'm not asking you to turn. It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." And God is saying, when the word comes out of my mouth, when God says I make a promise, when I make a statement, when I issue words out of my mouth, they can never fail. How many believe 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 31,102 verses of the Bible are all true and they'll never fail? The reason, because God said it. And y'all have heard me share it. Charles Huddleston, a preacher friend of mine over Clinton County, Cumberland County, I know it's down that way somewhere. I preached revival at his church, but David can't remember. He made the statement that the reason God can't lie is because if God speaks something that ain't, as soon as He speaks it, it happens and it is. Therefore, He can't lie. I like that. Matthew 24:32, you don't have to turn, but He says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree, which, when his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know summer is nigh. Even so likewise, ye, when you shall see these things, know that the end is near, even at the doors." How many can look around today and see the signs of the time, see the environment? I'm trying to think of the word, the condition. Notice nations and what's happening now, and we see it, and it's escalating. We know this. Amen. He says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." And here's what He says in Matthew 24:35: "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." He says, "But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, only the Father." I tell you what, hallelujah, it's going to happen. And it's not a matter of if it's going to happen, it's only a matter of when. And are you ready? Are you ready? Number three, I want you to turn, those I didn't ask you to turn to, but I want you to turn to Isaiah 60. I want everyone to just pay special attention to the words I want to share with you. I want our young folks to listen for a few minutes. Make sure that you listen to these last three items that I'm going to say this morning. And what I'm getting ready to share with you, I will say that I say this without compromise. I say this in the truth of the Word of God. There are unchangeable things, and we need to know what they are. First of all, I want to talk about the New Jerusalem. Somebody say New Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 60. Odd chapter to talk about the New Jerusalem. How many have read in Revelation 21 and 22 of a city coming down, adorned as a bride for her husband? Streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, foundations of precious stones. The Lord and the Lamb is the light of that city. There's a river flowing through it. There's trees of life on either side. How many think it's going to be all right after a while? I could shout right now. Roll back the clock. 700 years before Jesus was here. A prophet by the name of Isaiah in the Spirit of God gets this vision in Isaiah 60, verse 14. Notice who he's prophesying to as I read this. And I've used this chapter before. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves at the soles of thy feet. They shall call thee the city of the Lord. The Zion. Zion is the hill upon which Jerusalem is built. The Zion of the Holy One of Israel. God prophesying to this city, this whole chapter. Verse 15, whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee, read this with me, an eternal excellency. God making a promise to the city of Jerusalem, saying, I will make you an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Now jump down to verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. How many believe when we go in that city, we're going to be going in praising the Lord? Hallelujah. In order to get inside that city, you've got to traverse walls of salvation. Friends, you've got to be saved to go to heaven. Notice this. It says, the sun shall be no more thy light by day. He's making a promise to Jerusalem years ago, 700 years before the Bethlehem scene. He's saying, the sun will be no more your light by day, neither for brightness shall moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God, thy glory, thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light. Hallelujah. Are y'all ready? And the days of thy mourning shall be ended. I believe Israel has that promise today, and the turmoil that's over in that land and the city of Jerusalem today, that promise is still good. God still has a plan for the children of Israel. Make no mistake, friends. And as sure as our nation turns its back on the children of Israel and the seed of Abraham, we're headed for trouble. I believe that. I do believe that. Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Give me a few more minutes. Number three is the New Jerusalem. Number four, I want to tell you of an unchangeable thing called hell. And again, I make no reservation today. I don't stutter when I say that. There is a place called hell. There is a place called hell designed, created for the devil and his angels. Notice Mark 9. You don't have to turn. Mark 9, I've asked you to turn to Ecclesiastes. Mark 9:43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than to having two hands go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And the writer, Mark, three times repeats this same thought pattern. Where he said, the worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. Why aren't we shouting this morning? How many understand hell is real? Don't hear much about it anymore. A place designed for the devil and his angels, but the Bible tells us there in the book of Revelation chapter number 20, there at the great white throne judgment, when the books were opened, there is the second resurrection in which the ungodly dead are raised. They're judged in the things in the book. And the scripture says they're cast into a lake of fire. Now friends, I could preach about hell this morning. And I can preach about hell with all confidence because I have no intention of going there. Jesus has made a way for me not to go to that place. I want to tell our young people, you've got to know Jesus to not go to hell. Amen. Ecclesiastes 11. I want to ask you to listen closely to what I'm getting ready to share with you. If you have a question as to the authenticity of this, I'm not telling you what happened to another preacher. I'm telling you what happened to me. I'm telling you the words that the Lord spoke to me. I'm going to give you a situation of what happened to me as a young pastor. I'm going to say about 86 or 87. Had a lady in my church come to me and ask me about Ecclesiastes 11 and 3. If you're in Ecclesiastes 11 and 3, say amen. It says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And it says, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, what does it say? There it shall be. As a young pastor, Geneva knows who I'm talking about. Sharon Garrison come to me and asked me what this scripture meant. She asked me, what does it mean when a tree falls? There will it lie. And as a young pastor, I didn't have an answer. I did not know. And I can't remember the timing of it. It was like a day or two later. I had a dream. And in this dream, the Lord spoke to me. And I'm going to ask you to turn to the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, Revelation 22. The Lord spoke to me this verse reference. The Lord didn't quote the verse to me. The Lord, in a dream, told me the answer to Sharon's question was Revelation 22 and 11. And if what I'm telling you is not truth, I'll stand before God one day. I woke up not knowing what Revelation 22:11 said. I went and opened my Bible. How many knows that God knows where book, chapter, and verse is? God knows where book, chapter, and verse is. This is what Revelation 22:11 says. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. That tree that has fallen in death, if it falls unjust, that's the state it's going to be raised in resurrection judgment. Let me keep reading. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. In the state you fall in death is the way you'll be raised in eternity. I want to tell you this morning, there is no purgatory. There is no being baptized for the dead. There is no preacher praying you out of hell. Hear me now. You will stand naked before God, just you and yourself. Hallelujah. I want you to lift your hands in praise for Jesus today. Because friends, I want you to know in the Lord we can die holy. In the Lord we can die righteous. In the Lord we can close our eyes in a right state with the Lord because of Jesus today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. An individual's position in eternity. Friends, you need to hear me this morning. An individual's position in eternity is sealed when their eyes close in death. Now here's the thing. I don't mean to scare anyone no more than I mean to say let's wake up and smell the coffee and know what's what. But none of us have a promise. We could be driving down the road. This 27, 28-year-old young person in Russell Springs that left this life yesterday. I'm sure she left home not knowing that that would be her last trip. We don't know. But I want you to know if you're driving down the road and the lights go out, the way you close your eyes in eternity, you'll be raised to face a just God. So the question is, Lord, today, right now, Lord, while you're touching my heart and while you're letting me see my need, can I get right with you? Can I repent of my sins and can I receive Jesus today? Oh my goodness. I feel the touch and presence of God. I want to encourage our young people. Call upon Jesus today. Call upon Jesus today. Let's stand to our feet. Sister Betty, will you come to the piano this morning? Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for your long suffering. Father, I pray for every young person under the sound of my voice this morning. Lord, that you open every heart, that you open every mind. Father, I pray for each individual here, regardless of their age, that, Lord, if there's one here that's not ready to meet you, Lord, that you deal with hearts, that you have your way, that you tug, that you pull. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Let's come and gather on the altar this morning. Find a place and pray.
Jesus is tender.